cake or snack.
Screenshot that.
You're becoming...
I need my phone. I need my flashlight. I can't see it.
Oh my god.
That's a top 10 all-time moment for me.
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry.
Get out of here with that. Sexism.
All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
Coach's Corner was kind of like my bathroom break.
I don't give a fish's tits.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. Which, I mean, I'm having a lot of fun.
Hi, and welcome to the Broadcast. I'm your host for this week, Mallory, and I'm joined here by mostly Sam and Georgia, because Vanessa got a canker sore from eating too many fries. That was the quote, and she said that she was unable to really speak at length. I didn't know that could happen. Anyway, so on to our highs and lows this week, which I'm taking over because I have both a high and a low, which is the website and company that shall not be named, and their token CEO, Erica Nardini, learned what sexism was this week. She tweeted out, y'all ever heard of this shit? And it just writes, the jokes write themselves. So it's really both gaze. A high and a low. It was about the male gaze, and it was like, okay, yeah, that you're right, but yeah, like, I don't even know. It was just so absurd, and that's why it's both a high and a low.
It was very funny. A lot of people pointed out that the fact that the website still has like smoke show of the week, and they still have that thing up where it's like the hottest teachers who are incarcerated for having sex with their students thing is still available to be clicked on from their website. So it's just the epitome of the male gaze. But Erica Nardini now knows what that is. So
anyway, moving on, we are a hockey podcast and we are mostly Canadian based. So we're going to talk about the North Division being bad at hockey. This is why you guys have not won a cup since like the 90s as an entire nation. Is any team in the North Division good?
No.
That's
the only answer is no.
No, but
people
we are
said
still
that the Habs
going to
were
get...
maybe good.
No, people they're not
like,
good.
The Habs are actually going to be good. They're like good. They're actually a good team this year. And then they proceeded to lose to the Senators twice and then fire their coach.
Yeah, they lost at least 3 straight games. I don't know if there was more, but it's pretty sad.
Do you have anything to say about the departure of Claude Julien?
Yeah, the North Division is pretty, I don't know. Yeah, it's not great. Someone sent us the stats for goals against or goals per game average because it got to the point where it's like it has to be ridiculously high. And it is. It's like 6.21 goals per game, which is pretty crazy. In terms of Montreal, yeah, I think everyone's pretty enamored. Like the team is good. They have good depth. They have good players. Just things kind of went south and it seemed like Marc Bergevin was like, nope, it's time. Might as well do this now. And they had a coach on their roster already who they could kind of just slot in Dominique Ducharme, who coached, I think, the World Juniors 4 years ago, maybe.
I don't know. The Habs are 9-5-4. They have a winning record and they fired their coach. Meanwhile, the Canucks have like a points percentage of 0.391 and just getting votes of confidence from the ownership.
Well, like the thing is, I think that obviously that is like an easier fix almost because nobody's like really like green is the problem. Like, and it's so much more of an overhaul. So I did like at first, I was like, oh, the Habs fired their coach and they will not fire Benning. But it's like, yeah, obviously that's not equivalent, but still, when is enough enough?
Also, like Marc Bergevin likes to be flashy and do things like out of left field, I guess. Like he traded PK Subban and, you know, he's done these kind of things where he just likes to kind of fuck shit up. And it's very fun. I actually like it a lot. Also, if anyone saw his press conference today, the man is still jacked.
Mark
and
Bergman,
he's got some flowing dilf. Hair. He is.
Is
like,
he a father or is he just a dilf?
He's the opposite of what people think, like NHL GM.
Yeah.
He's the opposite of Kyle Dubas.
That's why he's the only NHL GM we've named as a 31 thoughts.
Yeah, but he is also like, he likes to post a thirst trap.
The virgin is Kyle Dubas, and then the Chad is Mark Bergevin.
Yeah, that's accurate. Happy for Alex Burrows, the original icon, forever my favorite Canuck. Though I think it was Pasa Dabulis who pointed out that a man who like was known for not scoring power play goals, that all of his goals were even strength, is now in charge of the power play in Montreal, which is very funny. We want good things for him, except when Montreal plays the Canucks and will inevitably clown on us. It will be embarrassing, but c'est la vie.
There's nothing about the Canucks that isn't embarrassing. So
accurate.
I think that the reverse retro jerseys are not embarrassing.
I love
but
them.
I see that they are very, it is a very contentious topic, which I think is actually good because I really hate when they just play it too safe, but I think they're really good. And I'm glad that like we're getting some more variety. I don't know. I just think that they should be allowed to have more fun with it like baseball does and just wear jerseys whenever they want for different reasons. Like, cause they'll wear stuff for warmups and it's like, this is just wear during the game. It's cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think there's the curse of the gradient, which is like a thing. To be honest, like the Canucks are just cursed in general. Like it has nothing to do with the jerseys. They're just cursed. So people are pissed about the gradient. I actually think the colors look way better. I like the numbers, they're flashy. And yeah, it's fun. And like, I don't know. We constantly criticize the NHL for not doing anything fun or not kind of stepping outside the boundaries. And I don't know, there is this weird relationship in hockey to tradition and to the hockey sweater. Like my dad will yell at you if you call it a jersey. It is not a jersey. It is a sweater. So he, like people like that get really attached to them. So I don't know if we could ever have the really fun ones. Like when Mal and I watch Arsenal, half the time I'm like, I don't know what color jersey they're wearing because 90% of the teams in the Premier League all wear the same colors. So they're constantly changing their jerseys. Sometimes they'll show up, they'll be wearing a marble pattern jersey. Sometimes they'll show up, it's tie-dye designed by Pharrell. Sometimes it's red like normal and sometimes it's yellow. And I don't know, it's kind of fun. Gives the players a little bit of a challenge. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely am not a person to talk about like the sanctity of jerseys. Like I have fully worn a hockey jersey. I have like tried really hard and had to tuck it into my pants because I wanted to wear it tucked in for fashion reasons, which like has to be like a cardinal sin, but it's okay because I looked good.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, they just need to have more fun.
Vanessa, speak.
Vanessa can't speak. No, we told her talk.
She can speak about the retros because okay. This is...
Yeah, I like them. I think that they're using this season as maybe like a test trial for next seasons and like if they're going to explore more creative stuff. I agree that I don't think they're going to do it consistently like the NBA, but I was actually just thinking like what they would do next year and I'm curious to know because it won't be retro because they've done that and it won't be reverse retro. So I don't know what theme they would do, but it's fun. I like it.
So, but actually other than looking good, the Canucks do not look good. They started out, so we're recording this on Wednesday. They recently, their most recent game, they humiliatingly lost to the Oilers. They played not good, but okay for like 10 minutes of a 60 minute game. So that's progress. And also, I mean, if you're going to play badly against the Oilers, I feel like you should just like let Connor do his thing.
Do you think Connor's going to hit the Sittler record this year? Because of how shitty the North Division is.
The North is really, really, really bad. The thing is that Tippett just like he does not respect him. He will not let that man cook.
Oh my God.
And what he is cooking is white bread. Plain. Very plain. I think my friend said like a package of saltines. That is Connor cooking.
Yeah. That is, yeah. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, he had like a very casual, it was either 5 or 6 point night against the Flames. Cause I was just like watching, cause I was waiting to watch the Avs and Vegas come back. And then I was like, never mind, this game slaps. And it was so great. Like the Flames, I mean, we have gone over the fact that no team in the Canadian Division is good, but the Flames, like, they looked bad.
They have looked really bad. He
was
just,
it was like disrespectful. Like he was just zooming around. And it's like, is there a higher league to put him in? Because it's mean.
Yeah, that is actually true. He's too fast. Yeah. Fast for the NHL. Yeah, the Canucks aren't good. And I feel like, well, Rob Fay asked Sam, like, what she would do to fix it. And, like, there isn't an answer. That's
the reality. I liked my answer. I liked my answer for the pure fact that it, like, a handful of people thought I was being serious.
Yeah.
And like, if you weren't listening, I was asked that if you were brought in right now, what is the first thing you would do to turn the Canucks around? And like Georgia said, there's not really anything that's going to miraculously turn this team around in like this season. And so I said I would abolish the dress code. And some people chose to take that seriously and embarrass themselves. I'm embarrassed for you if you took me seriously.
There isn't anything they can do in terms of, yeah, like an instant change. I think we were seeing good stuff, like, and this is where you get the stupid moral victory conversation happen. But there was stuff happening that was good. You saw some improvements from players, but also like we're at the end of February and basically like, unless they go on an insane run, they're not making the playoffs. Like it's not going to happen. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Here's the thing. Like have they looked better the last few weeks? Yes. They actually are overall, their play is not terrible when you're watching them. Is it exciting? Yes. But at the end of the day, if you are actually playing a good game and you continue to lose and not be able to close out games, there is a like, obviously part of it is bad luck. Like Elias Pettersson was hitting a ton of posts. Like some of it is unsustainable bad luck, but part of it is there is a valid question of whether or not this roster is good enough to compete with other teams. And if you can't even compete in the North Division, which is arguably one of the weakest divisions, like, how do you think this team would be doing if they actually had to play a regular season against the rest of the league? Like, it's not good.
But no. I mean, to be fair, I don't know if this is because I've been watching like mostly North divisions. I really don't think that there's that many actual good other teams either. I think this is just an abysmal year. Like,
it is a very bad season.
Everyone is bad. Everyone is so bad. I'm trying to come up with like a team that is genuinely good.
Vegas.
Well, the other thing is that you keep having teams that have to go on COVID protocol, especially in the States mainly. So yeah. Kind of breaks things up. But yeah, I guess like, yeah, there has been some bad luck. I feel really bad for Nate Schmidt. He's had just a really bad go of it. Pucks keep going off of him into the net, which is not very fun for him. And like Quinn Hughes is having a tough time, but that also is just indicative of our issues on defense in general. And yeah, you just, this team that at a certain point, the conversation is going to have to be, do they start shipping players out for a draft that we will have where there's going to be a limited amount, or I guess limited availability in actually being able to judge the players that are getting drafted because the leagues aren't playing. So I don't know. It just is, yeah, it's all bad. I saw something today about
we are tanking for Luke.
I saw something today.
This hashtag now, the broadcast, we're getting that boy here. I was actually talking to my friend earlier about brothers in the NHL that I like to bully, which is a very hyper specific thing to be talking about. But I mean, I was talking about slandering the Stroms. And then I was saying that I affectionately like to bully the Hugheses.
And the Chucks.
Yes. And I also was saying that also a fun group to slander is the Stalls.
We've been over my slandering of the Stalls.
Yes.
Very bad. No, I think.
Yeah, but we're going to start tanking for Luke.
I saw something today about a team being interested in Tanner Pearson. I can't remember which team it was. Arizona, maybe? Arizona. You know,
Arizona is not winning any games. What are they doing?
They just want to have some fun. We all know that they're a shit show right now. Thank you, Katie Strang, for your excellent reporting.
I think that actually would be great. You should just.
Well, but then the other thing is that the expansion draft is coming. So there's that added layer, which, gonna be honest, guys, don't love our front office in being able to manage all of this. I feel like they're gonna pull Stan Bowman and like forget about something. Was it Stan Bowman? Oh no, who was it?
Dale Talon.
Pull a Dale Talon and like forget to like qualify someone or whatever he did.
How do you forget? How?
Maybe they have ADHD like us now.
Did he forget or did he?
He did something.
Well, he wanted them to take.
I'm going
to
look at
Riley Smith to take. He agreed to give them Riley Smith so that they would take on John Marchessault's contract, I think is what happened. So he gave them 2/3 of their top line.
No. When he was with Chicago.
Oh, with Chicago. I thought you were talking about Vegas.
No, he left Chicago because.
Yeah, it does sound familiar.
I feel like that was something like, or someone forgot to, like, someone
for
forgot
sure
to
something.
Do a qualifying thing or. I can't remember. Oh, well. Too bad.
Either we'll edit this out or give us the answer. I might edit it out, but also if I don't, give us the answer.
I mean, it still holds with Dale Talon in Florida and fucking that up. But I don't know. Who is the player that we wanted the Kraken to take from us?
Jake Myers?
No. Oh, Lawson Gross.
Oh, from the Coyotes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah.
Free Lawson Gross.
Free Lawson Gross.
Free butter. Okay. Free butter Krause.
Free butter. That's what we want.
Anyway.
Butter would love to prance around in the rain. He would be having a great time. He would bring mud in everywhere. He would have so much fun.
Yes, exactly.
Things to consider, Namita.
Butter is the official Kraken dog.
I don't think that he can be the official dog for a team that like doesn't exist or have any players.
He can be if they.
If you make him the official dog, would they have to take him then? Or would they just take the dog?
Never know. Question. Any other thoughts about the Canucks? We love Nils Höglander. We love you.
Yes. There's been like an argument going around on Twitter that's been driving me nuts. And it's like people who are like, the Canucks haven't been good and they haven't been able to gel because there was no preseason. There was no preseason for any team. I don't understand this argument. It makes no sense. Stop saying it.
They are not getting better as it goes along. It is not like they are learning how to like mesh together and they just needed more time to like figure things out of chemistry.
They've played more games than anyone. That's people who use the argument they didn't have a preseason and they've played more games than anyone together. Like it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Stop.
I think the argument about the games is that they had fewer practices. Which, like, I guess fair, but also, I don't know.
They're just not good.
And, like, I've said this before, they're playing in a pandemic. It's hard to motivate yourself. I experience this every day. So part of me really understands.
We really cannot get on them for showing up to work and just clocking in and clocking out. Like,
yeah.
We can't get mad at them.
I am really interested to see, like, for contracts, like, Elias Pettersson is going to have to sign a new contract. There's other players around the league who are going to have to sign new contracts. Like, and for the people who have arbitration rights, like, what is this season? Do they just like throw it out? Like, it's such a weird season that, I mean, for Elias Pettersson, it probably doesn't matter, but for like a middling player who's trying to like get some money, kind of fucks them all over, which I'm sure the league will love, but I digress. Anyway, the Canucks, not good.
Trying to do something fun and cool for once. They created a great picturesque scene. It was really beautiful in pictures. They were like, we're going to play some games at Lake Tahoe. Like, we don't need to build stands or anything since there's no fans. Like, this is going to be really cool. They forgot to include the fact that the sun exists. And then the ice got really fucked up in the first period of their first game. And they were like, we need to postpone this. We need to postpone this. This is not good. Like, people aren't going to get... Which, honestly, I feel very shut up about the sun. The office picture, but about that meme being posted, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it was overused. We got the point, and yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch any of it because I was too busy watching Connor fuck up the Flames. So if anybody else has watched any of it, I just saw the nice little pictures. And then I also, actually, never mind. I did watch the Flyers and Bruins part of it because Gritty was just like standing in the corner. And I thought it was really funny. Like, it was so much funnier than him just like in the stands normally, because he straight up was just like in the forest.
The best part of Tao was Gritty and Gritty's Twitter.
He's so good at snowboarding. Did you see that video?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Gritty's like snowboarding. I do believe that like Gritty is like a sentient being, but if there were a person in Gritty, they are the greatest athlete of our time.
Luke, the bartender on Twitter, tweeted that if there was a documentary about Gritty and how Gritty came to be, he would 100% watch it. And I think that that is a missed opportunity by the Flyers. Like, I can't believe that hasn't happened.
They have to have footage somewhere. But also, like, did they plan for him to become a leftist hero? Probably not.
I mean, I don't think they planned for any of it, because I think he launched and then like he got insulted a lot, and then he, within like a couple hours on the job, he did threaten to kill the Pittsburgh Penguin iceberg in cold blood. So, and I don't think that part was planned. I don't think they were like, media strategy, we're gonna have our mascot threaten to murder yours on Twitter. So I don't know. I think it's all just like a nice happy accident.
Yeah, actually, that would where were you really good documentary.
Where were you with the first time? I'm asking this because I have a very specific recollection. Where were you like the first time that you saw Gritty, like when Gritty launched? I specifically remember seeing a video on Twitter. It doesn't exist anymore, which is very sad. But I was watching it a lot. Like, it was watching it on loop. What is the song?
I don't remember Gritty launch.
Me neither.
I couldn't even tell you what year it was in. The last...
It was in class.
5 years. Okay.
It's Mine by Bozzy. There was a video of him. I don't know. It's just like this like hip-hop song. Anyway, I remember watching on a loop and crying laughing because it was so... Okay, I realized that, like, I'm a very much a mascot enthusiast. This is why I'm like, where were you the first time Gritty launched? And you're like, why would I know that? And I'm like, why wouldn't you know that, okay? Why would you not know that? Anyway, I specifically remember watching it because it was so funny. It was like... I cannot even describe it. It was like the video of him, like, with his fucked up eyes... I was like, this is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen, and I love him.
I do have a photo of you while we were recording one time, and you're just clutching your
just
Gritty.
Just holding my Gritty.
You're Gritty. It's very cute.
I was just thinking about that.
I literally bought tickets to the All-Star game so I could see Gritty. That cost me like so much money. I mean, it didn't actually cost me that much money, but it cost me more money than one should be to see Gritty. Like, my main purpose was to see Gritty. I almost got hit by, like, the, like, player's bus because I was trying to see Gritty. This is completely true. I was, like, walking down this sideway, and I was like, I need to get in there because they're having the mascot game, and I need to see the mascot game. There's these, like, three buses. I was like, I need to dodge these, and they're, like, stopping traffic.
Local girl dies trying to see Gritty.
Honestly, me...
Okay, Tahoe. I didn't watch any of the full games. I just saw the kind of footage later, and then I caught a little bit of it before the delay happened. I was shocked. The ruts in the ice were like trenches, basically. Someone posted a compilation of all the players like face planting. It was basically like they were skating with toe picks. Like they were all just flailing around. It was awful. Visually looked great. Loved it. I like the idea of outdoor games. I think like it's obviously tied to a specific nostalgia of like hockey purity and, you know, it being this like natural game, which, okay, fine. The fact that they didn't think about the sun is very funny. And I don't know, it makes it kind of, I don't even know, like it's just so the NHL. They like try to do something fun and branch out, and it just becomes a laughing stock of like everyone. But I would like to pause so we can hold a moment of, I don't know, recognition for one of the greatest clips of all time, Zoom clips of all time, which is Pierre-Édouard Bellemare finding out that they weren't actually playing on Lake Tahoe, that they were playing on the side, because it's incredible. And yeah, great moment. Go watch it. It's really funny. Sam, did you watch?
I did not.
Sam, you're an Avs and a Vegas fan. So if you're
reading
watch
romance
this,
novels and stuff.
Yes. If you've been seeing me tweet about how I'm not watching hockey, it doesn't really actually have anything to do with the fact that I'm protesting the Canucks at all or that they're bad. I watched like too many seasons of bad Canucks hockey for that to be true. It's just that I've actually become so addicted to reading romance novels that I have a hard time doing literally anything else.
She got Kindle Unlimited. It's very dangerous. Yeah,
that was what I did on the weekend instead of watching hockey, was I read romance novels and I regret nothing.
What was the best outdoor game?
Like historically?
Yeah, like that they've done so far. Outdoor games, I specifically remember the very first one they ever did. I think it was the Heritage Classic, so it wasn't the Winter Classic. But Paulina Gretzky saying, "I will remember you," before the game. And it was Edmonton versus Montreal. And they also did like an old, I guess, alumni game right before, and Wayne Gretzky played, and it was like this big thing. I can't remember what year that was, like 2004, I guess. Does that make sense? It was like forever ago. And then I do remember the Crosby game where he scored in the shootout, and it was snowing and it looked like a snow globe. Those are the ones I remember. Usually I'm too hungover to watch them.
Oh my God. I literally have watched this game so many times. I don't know why I didn't say this. And this happened not recently, so this is how many times I've watched it. Watched it at least 3 times. I know what happens in this game, which is the Pittsburgh and Philly stadium game is so good. It's so good. And well, because the thing is that I've watched it, and then I've watched the like mic'd up like video one they made, which is also like an hour, and then I watched the game also, so that's another 3 hours. I've seen like probably 10 hours of content related to this game. It's very good. And also Quadjaroux scores in overtime. It's incredible. If you have not watched it, I'm pretty sure like it's on YouTube for some reason. So I really recommend it. Also, Gritty does like a Rocky thing at the beginning of it. And as you know, I love Gritty. And also, fun fact, I love Rocky. I love the Rocky movies. They're so good. And so like all I had ever wanted, like once Gritty like existed, I was like, Gritty needs to run up the steps to the Philadelphia Art Museum. That's what he needs to do. And he kind of did it.
Okay. I don't have a favorite outdoor game. I have a soft spot for the one that was at the Big House in Ann Arbor, but that's just because I love the Big House. I don't think the game itself is actually that good. I remember when they did the HBO 24/7 series leading up to the outdoor games.
Yes.
I hate that they don't do them anymore. I think it would have been so cool for them to do it for Tahoe.
I think about the Michael Lotta, Tom Wilson ketchup fridge all the time.
Yes. You get so much good content from...
And Leif Schreiber.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was really good. There's, I guess, like, the other games, that, like, I remember the game Crosby got his first concussion. Remember? Like, ooh, that was rough. But yeah, I don't know. Where do you think they should hold the next one?
My backyard.
Kansas City.
They should just hold it in Kansas City just for fun. They should hold it on the Missouri River. That's only funny if you know how gross the Missouri is.
Like, I guess it's like the equivalent of like the freezer, which is disgusting. A lot of people are saying Kansas River is
also really gross. You know what's really gross? I'm so sorry. The Mississippi River is disgusting.
No, a lot of people were saying...
Did you know they rebooted the...
Valerie, swear to God.
Did you know that they rebooted the Chicago River to dispense its sewage into the Mississippi as opposed to Lake Michigan?
Oh God, that's disgusting.
That's like legitimately a fun fact.
That's not a fun fact. That's just a fact.
Why is that not fun?
It's disgusting.
I also only use fun fact when it's like not a fun fact.
No, okay. A lot of people are saying they should play on Lake Louise. There's complications that come with that. Federal Park, etc. Though The Bachelor was at Lake Louise, so give us the NHL. It'd be very fun.
Oh God, The Bachelor. We need to talk about The Bachelor later.
Okay, we cannot do that because I already had my thing about rivers. I cannot be allowed to.
And gritty. The gritty
this
one is very
this good. Episode's going to have limited editing and people are going to be like, you should go back to your editing. I'm like, you guys asked for it. Here you go.
Okay, last thing. Do you guys even like outdoor games? Should they be playing them?
I don't care about them. Like, I think they're fun as a novelty, but I don't really have any like strong feelings either way. I mean, I do think that they add just like a fun like breakup into the like somewhat monotonous season, you know, but I don't think that they need to make as much of a fanfare out of it, and it's just kind of a fun thing to do, but it doesn't need to be a huge thing. They don't need to make a huge deal out of it, you know. And actually, also they should be playing all the games outside for COVID reasons. Vanessa says, but she cannot speak. She says they need to start choosing teams outside of Pittsburgh, Washington, Chicago, and Philly. Chicago, yeah. I think, had actually played in almost, like, it was like everyone. 8 out of 10 or something.
Crazy.
I actually think that, like, I don't care either way, but I do think there were some good points made about how we complain, or fans complain a lot about how the NHL doesn't do anything different or creative to market the game. This is, like, one of the few creative things that they do that is different and kind of more of an attraction. So I think I would go the opposite way of Mel. I think actually they don't do, I don't think that they need to not make it a big deal. I think they just need to be better at making it a big deal. Like, it's really a half-assed big deal at this point. Like, who the fuck cares about Green Day? And like half the people didn't even know Lake Tahoe was happening. And it's just, they should make it a big deal, but they should do it well.
I texted Mallory, was like, wait, the Tahoe thing is actually happening? Like, I didn't know what it was. I just kind of knew about it. Like, I'd read some things, but I guess it didn't fully like sink in. But yeah, they didn't do a great job of marketing it. Partially, I'm sure.
Do a way better job.
Partially, I'm sure, here because there weren't any Canadian teams involved.
Okay. Yeah, also they weren't selling tickets, I guess. So, I mean, they weren't needing to talk about it that much.
I think like, when I think about other sports like football, they will go play games in a different country. Like they played in London for a while. They're playing in London. Baseball teams will play somewhere out. Like it's often like traveling to a different country to play. So I guess the hockey thing is an interesting concept because it is about, I guess returning to the roots of the game, which is an interesting kind of marketing ploy. And also, like, to be fair, the Tahoe images look stunning. So it is good in terms of that. If they want to market it, the visuals just looked really good. But then they're also subject to the weather. So if it rains or if it's snowing or if the sun comes out.
The NHL did do games in other countries for a little bit.
Were they doing regular season games or was it just preseason? Because the Canucks played in China.
There were preseason games, but there were regular season games because Matt Duchene got traded when they were in Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Right. That's very true.
It's like one of my favorite all-time NHL moments. Just him leaving halfway through the game.
I love it when that happens.
I love when people have to leave the bench because they got traded. That's the funniest thing.
It's the best. It's the absolute best.
Also, Ryan Hartman getting traded when he was in the woods and nobody could get in contact with him. Another all-time moment.
So good.
Artemi Panarin is taking a leave of absence from the Rangers due to an alleged like altercation of physical battery. I think like about 10 years ago. Is that what it was?
2011.
Yeah. But obviously Panarin has been an outspoken critic of Putin. And so there is the view that it's an intimidation tactic and that like the concept of like prosecuting him for this is actually just trying to silence him, especially since he's a public figure. I don't know. I think both can be true. I think that it is definitely possible that he had like an altercation with some woman in 2011 and it wasn't hugely serious, but the like police kind of got paid off. Was that what the whole thing was? Except for I think they're inflating how serious it was.
Yeah. So ESPN, Emily Kaplan, I think, well, today released this article and she talked to, or ESPN talked to, a couple of the players who were on the team. So the incident happened in Latvia while he was playing for the KHL in the, I guess the 2010-2011 season. And what was reported by the coach is that like he assaulted this woman and that they paid the police off. What the players on the team said, one of the players said, whose name is Kip Brennan, said that he didn't hear about anything like that happening. Same as, I guess, John Morazzi. But then another player named Mikhail Anisin told a Russian sports media outlet that there was an incident in Riga involving Panarin. It happened at a karaoke bar, but it did not play out like the coach Nazarov, I guess, the coach who is accusing Panarin of this, that it didn't play out how he said. He said, I quote, Artemi didn't beat anyone, maybe pushed one girl a little bit, nothing more. And then he said that the police came to the team hotel, but left after determining the incident didn't warrant charges. And he also disputed the claim that the police were paid off. So yeah, the Rangers released a statement that said, Artemi vehemently and unequivocally denies any and all allegations in this fabricated story. This is clearly an intimidation tactic being used against him for being outspoken on recent political events. Artemi is obviously shaken and concerned and will take some time away from the team. The Rangers fully support Artemi and will work with him to identify the source of these unfounded allegations.
So, like, Russian politics are, all politics are very complicated, but Russian politics are extremely complicated, especially as like a third party observer. So Panarin has been outspoken about his support of Navalny. He is a, like, he's been for probably at least 15, 20 years, an outspoken critic of Putin and Putin's regime. And he kind of came onto the scene as like kind of a neoliberal nationalist, but then it did kind of transition into an anti like corruption. He's like a lawyer. He's a lawyer and a journalist. So he did try, he did do lots of anti like Putin, like showing the corruption of like the oligarchs and stuff like that. And so recently, as of like last year, I mean, a lot of the things was that he has been such an outspoken critic that it's very obvious. It would have been very obvious if he showed up dead, like who did it, which it's not like they really care if it's obvious. But so last year he was poisoned and then he was in Germany like kind of like recovering and like kind of in and out of like a coma or something, recovering from this poisoning, and they poisoned like him and his daughter, I think it was. Anyway, but he did return to Russia. Like he didn't just go into exile, like he did return to Russia because it is, he's kind of, he is like the leader of like a movement.
He's like the opposition leader.
Yeah, he's the opposition leader because there isn't an opportunity for that much of an opposition. And then he recently was taken into custody. And I don't know what the charges are. Do you?
I don't know what the charges are. I do know that he was being supported by Amnesty International and then they stepped back because he is, he has said a lot of really bad things in terms of like white nationalism. In regards to that. But a lot of people prop him up because he's anti-Putin. So like Meghan McCain loves him. That gives you any indication about the situation.
Yeah. So that's one thing about like Russian politics being really difficult is that like
it's really difficult.
It isn't as if there is, it's not black and white. It's very like obviously everything is gray. But basically just like all change is really hinged on him. And obviously, if you are a public figure in Russia or a Russian athlete that is obviously working outside of Russia, a lot of your existence kind of is on the goodwill of your home country. And Panarin definitely was very outspoken and really brave in speaking about this. But yeah, I mean, I guess what I said earlier is still true, that both things can be true. He can be being charged for a crime that did occur, and it could have occurred like outside of the statute of limitations. Like he shouldn't be like extradited for all of this, whatever. But
it's also, there's a complicated legacy of hockey players in Putin. So Ovechkin, Kovalchuk, Malkin.
Yeah, George and I were discussing Malkin.
Oh yeah, earlier. Malkin defected.
But Malkin is like a very good example of, I mean, how contentious it is with hockey players.
Yeah, and Putin's like a really big hockey fan, really big hockey fan. So there is this weird relationship that he has with hockey players, and he's like the kid that wanted to be a jock and then like wasn't good, but like now is super wealthy and so can like buy everything. Anyway, so he was really upset that the teams didn't win in Sochi. That was like a thing. But in 2019, Panarin had this interview on, I think it was just like a YouTube channel in Russia. And we should say like Panarin's a problematic figure in a lot of ways. He said a lot of bad things about black women. He has a problematic past. We're not holding him up as a hero in any way. But he had this interview and he was very open about the fact that he used to be proud of Putin. He used to like it, but then he said something's wrong in Russia, and that he wanted to be in America, and that people are like laughing behind Putin's back and like all this kind of stuff, which is just totally unprecedented. So he has been outspoken against him. He has been very pro Navalny. And so like this is something that happens. And yeah, it's a weird story. Like the Rangers are just a dumpster fire.
The Rangers are taking a very
dumpster fire of a PR like situation.
Yeah, but it's very weird that they are taking a position on it almost.
Yeah, it is weird. But also
it's very, yeah, because their like announcement was essentially these claims are false. They're being used to defame our
star player who signed to like another 8 years or something.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that in general, it is just very interesting. And also there have been ongoing widespread protests for Navalny and his movement and for his freedom and all of this throughout like major Russian cities. So it's very possible that they are also cracking down on this, trying to make an example of him and those who speak against the Kremlin. Yeah.
It's pretty like, I was thinking about other sports where this happened, and the only thing I could think about is that basketball player, Erdogan. I can't remember his name, the basketball player.
Oh yeah, I do know.
What's the basketball player in Erdogan? But that's the
Ozel, only. And he loves Erdogan.
Oh, I can't talk about
it. They are besties.
Mesut.
So he knows Kanter.
Oh yes. Because he also does videos with Jagmeet Singh for people who are Canadian. That's our like the leader of the NDP, aka our like leftist leaning party. Well, actually not, I guess the like furthest left large party, but he's the only other person I could think of. And he's had a crazy time with not being able to travel certain places and the kind of fears that come with that. But yeah, you get these weird dynamics where there's these leaders who like to be buddy buddy with sports people, like Erdogan is with Mesut Ozil, like Putin is with Ovechkin and Kovalev,
like and Tom Brady Kovalchuk. Is with Donald Trump.
Like, yeah. And that is a thing, and it's interesting in this context because in hockey, like these controversies tend to pop up with, like we said, the defection stuff, which I think, I don't know if this is true, but like the last big defection was Evgeny Malkin in 2004. I'm sure there's been a more recent one.
Yeah, well, obviously it was a more historic thing.
Well, and that one's also crazy because he like stayed in a hotel room in Finland for 5 days and then J.P. Yeah, he Berry, like, literally basically left out
like a Finnish airport bathroom or something.
And like people from Vancouver, Russian immigrants to Vancouver, were the ones who like got him out, which is crazy because they worked for J.P. Berry. But and he was just pissed because he had signed this contract and he wanted to play in the NHL. But yeah, it's a really weird situation. It's not something you don't often have.
Yeah, it's very complex. Releases. It's not black and white, and it's also very difficult to explain. Like, we hope we covered some points.
Didn't realize, yeah, hockey involved in
there's not much we can talk about. Like, yeah. Our knowledge only goes so far.
Sam, did you want to say anything?
Nope. I have nothing to add.
I think, yeah, I know it's funny because in Canada, hockey's often used to discuss geopolitics in terms of the 72 Summit Series. So it's funny to see like Russia jump back in this way. And yeah.
Oh, like, should we talk about Miracle? Speaking of geopolitics.
Yeah. Miracle, that movie is basically just a fight between the Minnesota accent and the Boston accent on the players.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're just like the thickest
I've only seen Miracle once. Oh. Which is very weird as an American hockey fan that I've only seen Miracle on Ice once.
Maybe they'll play an outdoor game at Lake Placid on one of the anniversaries.
They should.
They really should.
They should have this year. Wasn't it 81? Or no, 82?
Okay.
Next year, Lake Placid.
Okay. Okay, so like geopolitics and like sports like is so like cool and great and like also integration like of things. And have you heard about the Blood in the Water match? It's Hungary and the Soviet Union or something. It's a water polo match. Anyway, 1956 Melbourne Olympics. It happens like right after the 1956 Hungarian Revolution. USSR, like they brought tanks in and just completely like quelled it. Anyway, it's crazy. I just like can't even explain it. Like it's so crazy and cool. And it was the gold medal match. Also, I don't understand how also you get in like a fight in a water polo match. Like that's not a contact sport. Anyway, okay.
In a water polo game? That's interesting. You get a lot of like, well, Vancouver itself knows the defection because Igor Larionov defected here. So did Alex McGillney. And that was a big thing because that was still, they defected when it was still the USSR, right? Or was McGillney after? He must have been after. No, well, the other, like, Olympics and Putin, like, he used, I think it was the Beijing Olympics as, like, the mask to annex Crimea. Like, the Olympics were happening. Yeah,
when people talk about,
when
like,
they annexed Crimea.
Politics out of the, like, don't talk about politics, like, sticks to sports. It's like, nothing is apolitical, and especially sports.
Not even remotely
apolitical.
No, not when we live in the world with the modern nation state system. It's just, and the modern geopolitical system, it's just impossible. You also get like in baseball, you get all the Cubans defecting and it's pretty wild. Anyway.
And with the chaos of Arizona, while their organization is a trash fire, the Kachina jersey does still slap. So it's impossible to say whether or not it's good or bad.
Katie Strang published an amazingly in-depth article last week about what a shit show the Arizona Coyotes are. And in true professional form, they issued a statement responding to the story, which they refused to comment on, by accusing her of harassing former employees and current employees, but not actually denying any part of the entire story, and then finished it by threatening to sue the Athletic. But you should go read the story.
Is that good?
I can't do it justice, but the whole thing is just high comedy. Like,
honestly, I'm very disappointed though, because I, as you know, I am a Yotes fan that cannot name any players and has not watched a single Yotes game. I just like the concept of them. because they make old hockey men mad, and the Kachina jerseys are cool. So I'm very disappointed by their continued shit show.
It was truly wild. Like, some of the quotes that came out in that article.
It's just been after, like, one after another.
It's truly bonkers. Also,
Arizona,
like,
hockey not working out. So what I'm saying is relocate.
To Kansas City.
To Kansas City. And I will be calling them the Coyotes, because that's how you pronounce that word.
That's fair. No, I think, like, it's also funny because the owner is getting sued by a lot of people right now. So it's just, it's always funny when people who are getting sued are like, well, I'm going to now sue you. Katie Strang is an amazing reporter. Like, stuff is all on the record. It was the dumbest thing they could do, AKA it's the Barbra Streisand effect. You just made it so much worse for yourself. Like, what the fuck?
It's also the dumbest possible thing to threaten to sue without saying what you're going to sue for or why, and then to not do it. Like, you look so stupid.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
And then they followed that up today with, there was like the Mitchell Miller redemption piece. Garbage.
Yeah.
Just garbage.
Stop writing redemption pieces of these people. Also, we're starting a campaign. Free Butterpig Krause.
I already talked about that.
I know, but you'll probably cut that out. So
I don't know. I said that I was going to play fast and loose with cutting. I don't know what's happening.
Very concerned for us. So free Butterpig Krause. Namita Lawson Krause, good at hockey.
Like, that we're just assuming that Arizona won't protect him.
We don't know.
If we speak out into the ether, then things will happen. It's how Tyler Mott is.
Yeah, that's true. Manifest Lawson Krause.
Dude, I was manifesting lots of things, and then Alex Albon lost his Red Bull seat, so manifesting doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay,
no, that's true. We manifested Tyler Mott into injury.
Yeah, that's true. Pain.
In honor of the greatest thing HBO has ever made, because they ruined their Game of Thrones legacy with season 8. Name 5 players, much like Tom Wilson and Michael Lotta once did, that would have a ping pong table as their dining room table. My answer, and also Vanessa's mute answer, is the Hughes children, because they made that ugly ass table for Smash Fest. Is that what it's called? It was so ugly. It was the worst piece of art I've ever seen.
It was also,
I've taken,
like,
a lot of art history classes.
It was also, like, really not proportionate.
It was so bad. But also, I do believe that, because also I don't think that Quinn Hughes knows how to make macaroni and cheese. The box kind.
Yeah, no, he relies on DoorDash. It's fair.
And I also had this ongoing theory, which I understand. But I had this statement that I was making under the joke that no one told Quinn Hughes that weed was legal in Canada. And then so when Chris Tanev got traded, he lost his plug, but then he didn't realize that weed was legal. I think I'm really funny, and I should be.
I just, like, every time we, like, mention that Chris Tanev is, like, Quinn Hughes' dealer, I just, like, imagine Chris Tanev, like, expertly, like, rolling a bunch of joints for his, like, son to take off to school. Okay, my pick is Travis Konecny. It's the most obvious one. Like, he feels like the kind of frat guy who would have, like, crates as his shelf, like milk, like those old milk crates as his shelves, and would eat his dinner off of either a ping pong table or, like, a pool table. I wouldn't be surprised. Or, like, yeah, I don't know. Travis Konecny. Sam.
Zach and Dylan. Solely because.
Oh, my God. We have photo evidence.
They would 100% do that.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It would also not be a sanitary ping pong table.
Oh, yeah. This is not being disinfected between. Also, they're using the same ping pong ball as they are for beer pong. and they are drinking out of the cups after the ping pong ball hits like the beer, you know.
We for sure accidentally set a beer pong like ping pong table on fire in high school because they were trying to do flaming shots.
Patient zero for coronavirus was some like juniors hockey party. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Anyway, you can reach us many places on the net. Usually we're at Broadcast Pod. And we'll see you next week. And also in the interim time on Twitter, on Instagram, other places. So we love you lots. And if you want to talk about Russian politics or mascots.
Also, just want to say a shout out thank you to the Seattle Kraken and our friends there for sending us our Black Girl Hockey Club toques. They're really lovely. We love them. Support Black Girl Hockey Club if you can. Also, like, fuck it, just become Kraken fans.
Yes.
It's looking dark, Canucks fans. It's looking real dark. Bye.
Bye.